here in the sacred spot of the Basilica dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we come to ponder the reality signified by Jesus' Sacred Heart. It's very interesting in Christian piety that we don't have a feast to Jesus' Sacred Brain, even though it was hypostatically united to the wisdom of God and knows everything. We don't have a feast of Jesus' holy hands that saved us in his work as a carpenter in Nazareth, that reached out and touched so many people and healed them. We don't have a feast of Jesus' sacred feet that used to traverse the dirty roads of Palestine, that was washed by the tears of the penitent woman and dried with her ear, that was anointed on at least two occasions. We could easily have feasts of every part of Jesus' sacred anatomy. But we have only a feast of Jesus' Sacred Heart. A couple reasons for it. First, in biblical mentality, the heart was the real center of a person. To say that somebody is good heart or a person has no heart doesn't just point to something of cardiology, but points to something of character. So to mark Jesus' Sacred Heart means to focus on him as a whole. Second, the heart has always been an organ of love. So for us to stress Jesus' Sacred Heart stresses the fact of how much God loves us. And doesn't just love us in his divinity, but third point, loves us in his sacred humanity. That he took on a human heart in order to be able to transform our hearts. So we come and we celebrate the Lord's merciful love. We celebrate his sacred humanity, both of which were taken on for us so that he could teach us how to have a heart like his. It's a beautiful part in those apparitions of Jesus to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in Paray-le-Monial, the chapel of the apparitions, which we'll have the privilege to visit on Monday. In the midst of Jesus' multiple appearances to her, one point she felt a deep mystical experience, as if Jesus were reaching into her own breast, ripping out her heart with all its impurities, with all its little divisions. He submerged it into the furnace of his own heart, basically to burn away all the dross, all the impurities. And then he mystically inserted that heart back into her breast, so that she would be able to love with a heart like Jesus'. So we prayed a little bit earlier today. Oh Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. That's what we always ask Jesus. We come to him with a sacred heart and we ask him to do that mystical heart transplant in us, to take out whatever in our hearts is unworthy of him. Burn it away in the blazing, loving furnace of his heart and restore it back to us so that we can love the Father and we can love others as Jesus taught us to do. That's the first reason why we come to Jesus, to transform us in the center of who we are. But there's another reason for the devotion of the Sacred Heart. Jesus was clear when he came to Margaret Mary. Jesus' heart was wounded. And not just when it was pierced with a lance by a soldier, as we heard in the Gospel for this Mass. It was wounded by our ingratitude, by our failure to take his love and all that he did in assuming our humanity seriously enough. In the first reading from Hosea today, God said, "Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk, took them in my arms. I drew them with human cords and bands of love. I fostered them like one who raised an infant to his cheeks. Yet, though I stooped to feed my child, they didn't know I was their healer. My heart's overwhelmed, my pity stirred. But at the same point, I will not give vent to my blazing anger. I'll not destroy Ephraim again. That God was wounded. He didn't want to destroy us. He wanted to redeem us. But His worst suffering is when we don't allow Him to do that saving. So when He came to Margaret Mary, He opened wide His heart and He said, "Behold the heart that has so much loved man that it is exhausted and consumed itself in testimony of its love. But instead of gratitude, I have received from most only indifference, irreverence, coldness, sacrilege, and scorn for me in the sacrament of my love. From most, I've received only indifference, irreverence, coldness, sacrilege, and scorn." Then Jesus went even deeper to St. Margaret Mary. He said, "What pains my heart most keenly is that those who are consecrated to me treat me in this way." He's of course talking about the specially consecrated priests and religious who sometimes treat Jesus with apathy, impiety, frigidity, contempt, and desecration. But all of us, through our baptism, have been consecrated to the Lord. There are many times that we basically don't love Him, and it hurts Him. Because just like, for example, a mother who loves her children and would sacrifice everything for the child, constantly just wants the child to let him or her be loved, when the child sort of fights it off, a mother's wounded. Multiply that by a factor of a million, and you get how Jesus feels according to His humanity when we don't allow the divine physician to heal us as He knows we most need. The sacrament of His love that He's referring to is fundamentally the sacrament of the Eucharist. We had an apostolic letter by Pope Benedict back in 2007 called Sacramentum Caritatis, literally the sacrament of love. He says in response to this incredible gift, His remaining with us all the way until the end of time, He receives from most, we could say most Catholics, indifference, irreverence, coldness, sacrilege, and scorn. So how do we repair to the Sacred Heart? Again, this entire basilica was built because of the sins of those in France. And Catholics came together and say, "We have to make up with our love what so many are doing by these five attributes that I've just named." So that's why they sacrifice so much to build. And that's why, since 1885 until today, there's been adoration of Jesus upstairs. There's a particularly Eucharistic influence to the reparation that we make. And Jesus said that to Margaret Mary. He asked for three things. First, He asked for a feast of the Sacred Heart, specifically within the octave of Corpus Christi, the feast of His body and blood. That's why the Sacred Heart is always the Friday after the feast of the body and blood of the Lord. Second, He asked for communion on First Fridays, a day in which the Church remembers Jesus' Sacred Heart. He basically asked Catholics to come to daily Mass on that first Friday and receive Him worthily in Holy Communion, having confessed themselves. And then third, on the Thursday before that, to spend some time in Eucharistic adoration to make up for what happened on Holy Thursday, where His disciples fell asleep in the garden. To do that in Eucharistic adoration, to keep Him company there, because His heart is troubled even unto death because of sin and what it causes in us. So three particularly Eucharistic devotions Jesus asked so that we would be able to respond to Him. The way I like to teach about the Sacred Heart is in response to each of the five things that wound Him, we should be doing the exact opposite. So, for example, if Jesus' Sacred Heart is wounded by indifference,
How can we please the Sacred Heart? By making Him in the Eucharist the biggest difference in our life. That the Eucharist will have a huge difference in our life. That we'll make the time, we'll sacrifice other things in order to be able to be there with the Lord. Second, instead of the irreverence that He suffers, that we will treat Him with incredible reverence. It's a beautiful thing that over the last 10 years the Church has been asking Catholics to receive Jesus far more reverently. We're always making an act of reverence before we receive Him now. A profound bow or a genuflection before we receive the Lord. That's an external sign of what should be going on in our heart. That we recognize who the Lord is. When we come into the Lord's presence in the church, when we make a genuflection, we make it with love. That's reverence. Instead of coldness, the way to repair for the wounds of the Sacred Heart is to love Jesus in the Eucharist with passion, to come with incredible enthusiasm to Mass, to rejoice and sing in praise of His love, to put our entire heart into our prayer. Instead of the scorn or the contempt that Jesus sometimes receives, especially when somebody might receive Jesus unworthily, or a priest might not celebrate Mass as it ought to be celebrated, but just going through the motions. We are called to treat Jesus with praise, with great, great love and thanksgiving instead of scorn and contempt. And one of the great practices of the saints is after Holy Communion to make a time of thanksgiving, and not just a few minutes after Mass, but to continue that thanksgiving for hours, in a sense, until you start preparing for your next Mass. And then fifth, instead of sacrilege, we're supposed to treat Him with incredible piety, trying to allow Him to make us beautiful temples where He can come to dwell. That's the way, ultimately, we venerate Sacred Heart, it's Jesus' Sacred Heart. By what I like to say is piety, passion, praise, precedence, and purity. In short, to treat Jesus with the love with which He deserves. Today, as we come forward in this famous basilica dedicated to a Sacred Heart, we turn to His mother, who had a heart very similar to Jesus's. We ask her to intercede that we might have a heart that imitates the heart of her Son. I have always been very moved by the consecration John Paul II, who came to this very place, would make to the Lord every day. It became his papal motto. You probably remember it, Totus Tuus, from an expression, I am all yours, Mary. But that's a consecration to Mary's Immaculate Heart, in the words of St. Louis-Marie Grignion de Montfort. And it goes a little bit longer. Totus tuus ego sum, I'm all yours. Et tota mea tua sunt, and all I have is yours. Accipio te in mea omnia, I receive you into the totality of my being. Praebe mihi cor tuum, O Maria. Give me your heart, O Mary. Let us ask her to intercede that we might have a heart like hers, so that we might receive the love that still continues to flow without ceasing from Jesus' Sacred Heart, and that we might be the extension of the love of that heart in the midst of a world that needs to be taught how to love God anew with passion, reverence, precedence, purity, and piety. O Sacred Heart of Jesus, make my heart like unto thine. Amen.